Buddy Bye.
Lone Star Mitsubishi and American Leak Detection.
Here is Dave.
Thank you. Well, we touched on this in E! News about Aubrey Plaza having her first baby and the awkward relationship timeline. So she, her previous husband, producer, writer, director, Jeff Baena.
Yep.
And they started dating in 2011. They married during COVID in 2021. And then by 2024, they had separated. They separated in the fall of 2024. And then in January of 2025, he took his own life at the age of 47. Mm. So January of 2025, he is no longer with us. And in 2025, that is when she and Chris Abbott's relationship became public. And then in April of 2026, they confirmed they were expecting their child, and they had that child in late July. So just a few weeks ago.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you get knocked up in 25.
Well, no, she got knocked up in early 26. So it was about a year.
Yeah. Okay.
About a year between the death of first husband, who she was separated from, and
she's of a certain age, 42, where if you don't, it's time to, if you're going to have a kid, you better do it right then.
Right. But I guess I'm bringing this up not just in biological terms, biological clock terms, because I also, there just were a few different things that popped up on my timeline today that made me think about it, because I've often said, because I have a big age difference with my wife.
Yeah.
I've told her, I'm obviously going to die before you. I want you to mourn me for a solid 365 days.
1 year.
Before you cavort with another man. Then you can do whatever you want after 1 year.
Yeah.
But just respect me for 1 year. But I'm reconsidering it.
Well, think of it this way too, because what if you do live to be 90 and then she's 70?
Right.
And then she's like, so you want me at 70 to wait a whole year when I'm running out of years?
Yeah, that's true. I guess the clock is always running.
Now, if you checked out like in the next, let's say you died tonight watching the Rangers, like Bob wished for me.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want you to see the whole game, though.
Yeah. Cooter died preparing to watch the Braves, they said.
Yeah.
You, at least let me get in the Angel game.
Like if the game would have started earlier, maybe he lives.
Right. What was the point?
I don't know. But a couple other examples that popped into my head.
Way to go.
So you're not throwing a flag on Aubrey. They had already broken up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm probably already broken up because of this new gentleman caller. And so for them to procreate, her clock is ticking. The old beau is in a bad way, takes his life. That should not reset her clock from enjoying.
No,
future.
I know what I was saying, Dave. Is
now,
that
if
you
die in her
out,
arms, the year's probably fair.
If you checked out tonight, then yes, Marissa, at this age, she should wait a year. Although, think of it this way too: if you died in the next 6 months, then she's got two little ones that she's dealing with on her own.
She needs help.
Yeah, hot help.
Yeah, if there was.
Oh, the shirt. Oh, Mrs. Lane Stabler. So yeah, cumbersome.
There's a hot male au pair that wants to take over for me. That would be great. Another, this is not a similar example, but this did strike me. Remember the case of Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, who his wife, Mia, was shot by their son, Elijah, on July 26th. He was arrested on July 27th. She was shot in the chest and arm. and she was in intensive care, but now she is in stable condition, and Eric Bieniemy has returned to practice. So 2 weeks, he missed 11 practices to be in Virginia with his wife at the hospital, and then he's like, are you good, honey?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going back to camp.
Maybe they moved her to Kansas City.
Is that long enough?
I don't know. I don't know what's proper.
Like moved her to the team facility?
Yes. So she could watch.
But the one that
I thought you were going to say he started dating no, while she was still in the hospital.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
Okay, but that is the case with this one. This one really struck me. And it did make me reconsider. Because especially, like you bring up, what if I live to 90?
Yeah.
And so Marissa is in her early 70s and she's dealing with incontinent Dave.
Yeah.
How cruel is that to her? Like, should she just send me off to a home and do whatever she wants?
Yes, she should.
And so that is kind of what happened to Roland Orzabal. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, the singer?
Yeah, Tears for Fears. Yeah. Half of Tears for Fears. And so he has just written a new memoir called Welcome to Your Life. You know, key lyric from
There's No Turning Back.
Yeah. And so he is now 64. He looks like a wizard now. His hair is all grown out and gray. And he looks insane. But they still sound great.
Yeah.
If you've seen Tears for Fears lately, if you've listened to their recent records, they still have a fastball. But he says that he didn't want to write something false. And because he wanted to tell the truth, he felt that somewhere there might be someone going through what he went through and that this might help them. And so he's detailing the transition as he jumped midstream from one horse to another. So he, in the early 80s, like even before Tears for Fears had hit it big, in 82, he met Caroline Johnston, and they married when he was 21 and she was 20. And they had two sons, and he says that he would spend long periods away on tour making records, etc., and he became selfish and hedonistic, you know, into his rock star persona, and really was a terrible husband to Caroline. But then in the 90s, when Tears for Fears wasn't a thing, you know, they hit rock bottom before they had a comeback in the early aughts.
Bottom.
And so he wanted to try and fix their marriage, and they were going to counseling and they were trying to figure things out. And around 2011,
is fixing the marriage defined as please stop living your hedonistic rock star lifestyle?
Yes. Pretty much. Yes. But then things flipped. So around 2011, their friends start noticing a change in her behavior. And she would say, well, it's just menopause. I'm weird because of the menopause. I'm depressed because of the menopause. And he was like, I went along with this for many years, but the symptoms kept getting worse. And we would go see doctors and they would say, it's not menopause, it's alcohol. And she was drinking so much. And she was drinking in secret, hiding bottles of vodka around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she would get jaundice and get all rashy. And she got to the point where she couldn't eat solid food. She would just lay on the couch all day. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't eat, and she wouldn't make meals for their kids. And she would end up having seizures, and she would lose her bodily functions. And so he's like, you know, we're going to specialists. We're going to hospitals, we're trying to get her help, but she doesn't want help. She just wants to keep drinking. Meanwhile, in 2016, he is with Tears for Fears as they are back on the scene, and they're in Colorado about to perform at Red Rocks, Corby.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. And he meets a writer and photographer named Emily Rath. And his immediate reaction when he saw her was, that's my wife.
Way to go, Snake.
Really?
Yeah. So she, at the time, was 30. He was 55. And he was like, man, if I was half my age and she was older, this would be on. And so they exchanged numbers and they developed a friendship, but he was like, I was falling in love with her. I was falling in love with her before my wife died.
Owie.
And so then as his wife Caroline gets worse and worse and worse, she gets checked into a psych ward. And in 2017, she died at the age of 54.
Damn.
So then he's in this deep depression. He goes to rehab himself in 2019. He was addicted to Ambien. And
he really liked to sleep.
Yeah. And he said that he started to forgive himself for moving on with his life before his wife actually died. Because he says, I was at a crossroads with all the visits to psychiatrists and neurologists. I was falling in love with a young, healthy woman who loved me and was the opposite of what I had at home. So he said, I could choose the illness, the misery, and frustration, or I could choose the alternative, and I could choose life.
And God.
And he said, God, strike me down, cancel me, whatever, but I chose life. So even though he had this wife of 35 years who he was trying to do the right thing and see it all the way to the finish line, in the final years of his life, of her life, he was already mentally moving on. And kind of having this emotional affair with this woman. And they married in 2020, and they now have a daughter that they had last year.
Oh, wow.
He and this.
It's another dad older than you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's older than me. But so that got me thinking, like, if you are a total dead weight in the relationship, shouldn't you be happy that they are able to move on quickly and get on with their life?
Dead weight because of your own doing, or dead weight like you're sick because of something that you couldn't help?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I was laid up with cancer and she was cavorting with Hans the au pair.
Yes.
I would be a little bit bitter about that.
Right.
Yeah, so but, I mean, I guess the fact that she did it to herself does color the situation a little bit.
I like the idea of, if it's death, I like the one-year rule. Especially now that we're still kind of in the prime of our existence. But once you get older, I mean, I've seen it happen in my own family with older people who lost husbands and wives, you know, because of cancer or something like that, or something, you know, horrible happened to the spouse.
Diarrhea.
I've seen it turn back around in months.
Yeah, and a lot of times,
just because these people, They're A, miserable, B, they meet someone like at church, and they're like, oh, it's a buddy of mine, church, where we have all this in common.
Well, they often come together over their mutual grief.
Yes.
Like, they both lost a spouse, and they are the ones that brings the other one out of that depression.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. I just, the selfishness part is what I have a hard time getting past, because I can't even believe that she agreed to be with me at all.
Oh, so you are worried about this in your own case?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that she's going to stick around for another year regardless, whether I'm alive or dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that asking her to honor me for a year after I'm dead is probably asking too much.
Another way to look at it, you're dead.
Yeah, what do I care?
That's why George would always say that it's a year or he haunts.
Yeah, that's right. He will make a pledge to haunt.
He has promised to haunt his wife if she doesn't wait the year.
I won't haunt.
That's cool of you.
Well, yeah. you're just making the doors creak. And
right.
Maybe knock
maybe
over
a random
dish or
fart from an area where there's no one.
Dave?
Dave?
I know that sound.